Let me start off by joining in with Matt by saying, welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. And again, if you are visiting with us this evening, from the bottom of my heart and the members here at South Fayette, let me say, welcome. We want you to know that, again, our doors swing on welcome hinges, and any time that you're in the area, feel free to worship here with us in spirit and truth at the South Fayette Church of Christ. Before I begin, I'm telling you, that's how you get the preacher ready to preach. When you sing like that and you sing out. And I definitely appreciate you all singing out, and God does too. I want to do something a little different this evening. I want to talk about something I think that's important. Things that I'm sure that we already know, but I think sometimes we forget or become complacent. So this evening I want to talk about making our collective worship more meaningful. Making our collective worship more meaningful. The comedian and actor Woody Allen once observed that 90% of life is just showing up. 90% of life is just showing up. I thought about that for a minute. I said, okay, well, I guess it has a, a good ring to it depending on what you're showing up for. And unfortunately, many Christians take this same approach when it comes to worship, just showing up. They figure that if they simply show up at the appointed hour and occupy a pew until the last amen is spoken, they have fulfilled their obligation to worship. Because of this spiritual problem, I want to give you some thought-provoking suggestions that I think we can implement in order to make our collective worship more meaningful. I know that we simply know some individuals, we've experienced it ourselves, where we felt like, again, it's a checklist. We show up, we say a few amens, we take communion, we give, and then we go home, and that's it, and that's all we have. We don't have any type of zeal, no desire. We're not prepared, and we're not truly ready. We're just showing up, do our part, and we go home. So the first point that I want to suggest is preparing our minds. This is one of the things I think we briefly touched on in the class this morning about having zeal for God, being prepared, right? Our minds need to be prepared. This is what I think. I think by the time we arrive at the meeting place, which is here, each of us should firmly be focused upon the worship activities that we're about to embark in. Now, knowing that our Lord is with us, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of age. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, shouldn't we come mentally prepared to worship in spirit and in truth? Now, I know this for a fact as well, and I've said it over and over again, but I want to make sure that I drive home the point. We prepare for everything else. We get our minds prepared. We get our clothes prepared. We get our children prepared. You know, they got to go to school the next day. We make sure lunches are already pre-made. We make sure clothes are already ironed. We already know who's picking up who, what time, what extracurricular activities that need to go on. We are prepared. But when it comes to serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we just come in with all kinds of stuff on our minds. We're not prepared to worship. We just have all these things going on. And I want to encourage you that you need to be prepared. When getting prepared, the second thing we ought to be able to have our minds set on is being ready to participate. I can't tell you how many times that there are men and women who aren't ready to participate. Case in point, they first have not prepared their minds to participate. You see how important it is to prepare your mind before you come to worship service? How many of us, before we come to worship service, prepare our minds to say, I am here to worship God in spirit and truth. I am here to only show reverence unto God and what he has done for me through his son, Jesus the Christ. And my mind will totally be focused on the things of God, not the things of anywhere else, but God. And you come in with that type of seriousness on your mind when it comes to worshiping and serving God. If that is not our attitude before we come in here, then saints, I'm telling you, we need to change it. This is the most important time for me. It's the first day of the week that I get to have an opportunity to gather together with the saints to worship God in spirit and truth and be reminded of what he has done for me and for you. So now that our minds should be prepared, we're being ready to participate. Every Christian man and woman should enter worship ready to serve if called upon. Those who lead in singing should select the appropriate songs, which I'm not saying anything about us here, but I'm saying that we should pick the right songs to start off our service. We should have in our mind that the songs that I know that we sing well, the songs that I know that gets us fired up, the songs that I know that would admonish us and make us be reminded of the things that we need to be focused on. Now, those who may be asked to lead a prayer should also consider what they would say if they're appointed as such. I know a lot of times a lot of guys are caught off guard because they haven't prepared their mind mentally to say that I'm on the prayer list. Right. And I have to pray. And so they come in and they forget. They don't look and they come in. They're called upon to pray and they're like, oh, OK, they're not ready. And it's so important when we're praying, the things that we say. This is our opportunity to communicate to God the very needs that we have. The very individuals who are going through things. This is our time to communicate with God about those appropriate and personal things that we are praying about. We need to be mindful of who's ill in the congregation when we're praying. We need to be mindful of those who are traveling. We need to be mindful of those who have walked away from the faith. We need to be mindful of those who we are praying for to accept Christ as their Savior. We need to be mindful of all these things. And I want us to consider what we will pray for beforehand. And the reason why I say this and the reason why it's important, because we don't want to say vain repetitions or pray empty phrases. According to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. See, those who serve the Lord's table also need to be careful to consider the words in which they use. All of this encompasses our worship, and it's important for us to have our minds focused on the things of God, and more importantly, the Lord's sacrifice on the cross. Remember, I talked about singing. The other thing is we ought to sing with our spirits and our minds. Now, I know that every one of us has not been blessed with the voice of Whitney Houston. I'll raise my hand. I'm not Barry Manilow. I'm not Luther. Some of y'all, listen, it's true. Some of y'all can't carry a tune in a bucket, a bag, a plane, a train. It doesn't matter. We all understand that. But that's okay because there is no command to sing beautifully. The command is to sing out. The command is to sing with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. And when we sing praises to God, let us remember that it's important for us to stir up those thoughts about how good God is. We shouldn't just be singing just to be singing because that's what we do. We ought to be really listening to the words that we're singing, paying attention to those things because they do encourage us. That's why I look so forward to the singing. And that song right before I go up is so important. It's so important because it reminds me, and I'm fired up. And I'm sure if I am, you are too. You know that feeling that you have when the singing is good. And you know that feeling you have when the singing is being dragged along and everybody's tired and it's just one of those things. That should never be such a case because we're singing out to God. And so when I think about it, when we're teaching to admonish one another according to Colossians 3:16 and making melody in our heart according to Ephesians chapter 5:18-19, let us consider all of the things that we're saying, because the point is for spiritual building up. So I want us to be mindful to give it our all. You know the all I'm talking about, right? The all that you do when you're in the shower. That's the all I want. That all when you in the car and you singing in the lyric and you by yourself and you giving it your all because nobody else is around. That's the all that we ought to have when we're singing praises to God. the moment that Matt or Jordan or Johnny comes up here to lead singing or and they start, you ought to be just like you are when a song comes on. Ooh, that's my song. That's the way we ought to be when it comes to singing our praises to God. You get all excited for Lady Gaga and the Jonas Brothers, but you don't get excited to sing praises to our Heavenly Father who has given us an opportunity, has given you and me a second chance. We ought to sing out. And the other one is praying with our spirit and minds. Listen, public prayer is not a spectator activity. I know a lot of times there are some intelligent people who have a vivid vocabulary, and that's great. But it's not about you. It's about us speaking to God. And although that individual is leading that prayer in the congregation in prayer, he usually prays aloud and all worshipers should be praying with him. It's not the time for when he's worshiping for you to be doing this. We should be praying. It's not time for you to be waving at the babies. It's not time for you to be rumbling through things. We should be listening to what is being prayed. When you think about the one who's standing before us that is praying, they're leading our minds for the petition that we're bringing before God. So it's so important for us to be on the same page that your mind is not wandering on the things of this world. It's not time to occupy your mind and focus on worldly things as somebody's praying. Like, man, he's praying for a long time. I can't wait till he finishes. What? Is he preaching? We shouldn't be doing that. Oh, wait a minute. Did he mispronounce that word? We should be focusing on what is being prayed, not what Tom Patrick Mahomes is playing. Not what time LeBron James comes on, not what time your favorite Dancing with the Stars or whatever it comes on that you like. That's not what we should be focusing on. And furthermore, after all, how can you ever say amen if you don't know what the person has said? Because at the end of the prayer, what do we say? Amen. But if you're not listening to what he said, he could have said something crazy and then you holler, amen. You ain't even listening. Amen. I pray that the sky fall. Amen, brother. Because you're not listening. You're not paying attention. You can't help him if he did say something wrong. You can't encourage him if he did pray right. And yet here we are making it as if that is not important. The other thing that I think is very important is while we are here, instead of us looking to the left and to the right, we ought to be looking right here and examining ourselves. We come here to examine ourselves, not to examine what everybody else is doing. I know that sometimes there are some distractions that can be had and things happen, but it ain't your business. You're not hired to come in and be a spectator. This is not a football game. We are here to worship God, and we ought to be examining ourselves. If you reflect upon the gravity of the task that's before us when we're observing the Lord's Supper, you would truly be examining yourselves. You truly would have your mind focused on the sacrifice that was made. Now, I know these are some things that we know, but again, I think that it is good for us to be reminded of this. See, during the time of the Lord's Supper, when the person is speaking, I'm listening when the speaker is talking about something. But at the same time, I take myself exactly to the cross. Can you just imagine the pain and the anguish that Christ suffered for us all? If you put your mind there, when they put the nails in his hands and in his feet, when they pierced him in the side, when they ridiculed him, spat upon him, make fun of him. And he did all of this so that we could have an opportunity of everlasting life. And you worried about what type of juice is in the cup? You worried about whether or not it's Ritz crackers or it's home baked or whatever else you can come up in your mind to be focusing on instead of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I'll say it. Are you kidding me? How dare us not take this very seriously? We ought to take it very seriously and very personally for the sacrifice that was made. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, the infallible word of God says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I don't know about you, but I take this very seriously. We should not be playing or doing anything else, getting up, walking out. Well, it ain't that big of a deal. I catch him right there in the back and wait. No, ma'am. No, sir. I take it very personally. And I got a big problem with people who are playing and doing other things, looking at their phones and all kinds of stuff. And I'm not talking about mothers. I'm not talking about people who are elderly and sick and your bladder can't hold. I'm talking about those of us who can sit and be still during that time. It is our obligation and our duty to show reverence unto God and the Christ who died for us. These serious words of warning should cause us to think very carefully and reverently when we reach the portion of the service when the Lord's Supper is served. I saved this one for last. Giving attention to the sermon. I saved it for last because I saved it for last for a reason. I want you to know, for various reasons, some members of the church have short attention spans. I get it, right? I get it that, but for a lot of people, it's a chore for them to sit and listen to a 40-minute sermon. I get it. They get itchy. They get to moving. They can't sit still. It's like it's too much. But I want you to know that while I'm up here preaching, that I can see you when you go to sleep while I'm preaching. I just want you to know that. When I'm up here, I can see the whole room. I can see that you're talking to other people and not paying attention while I'm preaching. I can see you having side conversations when we're reading scripture and I'm telling you an important point. I can see that. I just want you to know, FYI, I can see you. And it's unfortunate, though, that some people just don't care. It's unfortunate that I'm not 5 minutes into the sermon and you sleep. And again, I'm not talking about those of us who are on medication, who have disorders or issues or problems. I'm talking to those of us who can control it. Because I can guarantee you, you ain't going to sleep on the job. Because if you were, you wouldn't have one. You'd be unemployed. But when you come here, you think that it's all right for you to go to sleep on the most important thing that you should be doing in your life? I don't think so. So I understand for a lot of people, it's a chore. But to remedy this problem, I think we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. This ain't about me. And personally, I'm not here to entertain you. So if you're not, if you have yet not to be entertained by me, I don't care. Because I'm not here for your entertainment. I'm here to preach the Word of God. I'm here to remind myself as well as remind you of the things that need to be done. My job is to teach through the Word of God. And again, I am nothing without the Word of God. Now, granted, my wife said that you're a handsome man, and I trust what she says. I do. I really do. I believe her. But they ain't got nothing to do with it. You're a great speaker. They ain't got nothing to do with it. How you think I got her? Okay, well, it's fine. It's fine. I thought you was with me when I said that, because I know how it is. I thought you was with me, but it's fine. You can be a great speaker, but none of that matters. We ought to be focusing on the Word of God. And that is, it is by Him that God speaks to us today, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. That's what I'm doing. I am relaying the message from the Word to remind you of the things that God has said. So therefore, when the gospel is being preached, whether it's me or anybody else that is standing in the pulpit, I'm saying we're on holy ground. And that's the way you got to think of it. I'm not talking about in terms of a building is holy and all of the pews. I'm talking about when you are getting the word. This is an opportunity for God to speak to us today. When the gospel is being preached, I believe that we're on holy ground. And that's how we ought to take it. That's how we ought to treat it. You know how you do when you got that $60,000 car that you didn't, you know, put together? Can't nobody scratch it. Can't nobody get near it. Can't nobody touch it because it's precious to you. You're going to make sure you're going to park. And if you got to walk 20 miles to get to the store, you're going to make sure you don't park by nobody because it's special to you. That's the way we ought to hold the word of God when we get together. That is special. It's holy. It's the very thing that I need. That is my lifeline. What is that thing that they call when you need fluids? An IV. That's it. Well, that's why I'm a preacher. So I'm just saying, I didn't go into the medical field. It's like an IV. Right? It's important. It gets us the very things that we need when we're running low on the spiritual fluids that we need to have in our bodies. And it ought to be vital to us to be here and respect the word of God. So let us consider that the inspired words that God speaks to us and note that we can not only study them, but again, meditate on them through the week. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. That's the mindset we ought to have. So, yes, we should and we can accomplish more if we put our minds in the right place when it comes to worshiping God. So I want to say, let us all genuinely participate in worshiping God. I mean, genuinely, and take it personal. Take it personal. Let me tell you something. I have to confess. The law is you cannot speed. I speed every now and then when I'm trying to get to church on time. But you know what I need to do? Is prepare beforehand. And I'll never have to worry about speeding, nor my daughter telling her teachers that my daddy loves to drive fast. She did that. And as a matter of fact, they had it on the wall. Like, my daddy loves to drive fast. But if we prepare beforehand, you don't have to do that. But if you're going to speed and try to get anywhere and you're going to lose your mind trying to get there, let at least be trying to get to the house of praise. Let at least be the house of worship you're trying to get to. If you're going to kill yourself trying to get to God, not to a job or not to any other type of foolishness, but to God and be around God's people. So we can be reminded of what we need to do. And I think if we put these things in practice, those six suggestions that I said, that we can make our collective worship more meaningful. Now, I know that this is a little bit different, but I thought it would be important for us to be reminded of that. You know, I understand that sometimes y'all want to knock out, drag out, you know, get into the scriptures and beat the devil across his head. But sometimes I think it's important for us to be reminded of these things. And I hope that I've said something to encourage you, because this is the place where it begins, right? This is where it all begins for your week. When you leave this place, your week begins. The challenges begin, right? The prayers that you ask for, that you're petitioning before God, all of the requests that we have, all of the things you have to face that we know nothing about, that you have not told us about, that sickness that you hadn't told us about, that thing that's going on that you hadn't told us about, that thing in your marriage you hadn't told us about, the week is about to begin. And if you want to begin the week on a high note, you got to start with God. So I want to encourage you, when we come here, let us be focused on the things of above. Let us be focused on the things of God. Let us be prepared. Let us be ready to participate. Let us sing out with passion and emotion. Let us pray with our spirit and our minds. Let us examine ourselves in a proper manner. And if you do nothing else, after you do all these things, at least pay attention to something that the preacher said. In all seriousness, saints, God is watching. Doesn't matter about who else has anything to say. God is watching us. And I want him to brag on us like he bragged on the church that did everything that it was supposed to do. There's nothing that I need to say about the South Fayette Church of Christ, because those brothers and sisters love me and they show it in their worship to me. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, I want to encourage you to get into Christ. I want to encourage you to get out of the world
and get into Christ and wear him all the days of your life. And if you are here and you are a Christian, and maybe you've been struggling with some things, maybe the very things that I'm talking about in this short sermon that I'm giving you applies to you. And listen, we've said it before, you don't have to be embarrassed about what you've done, but you do need to take it seriously about fixing what you have not. And so if you're here and you need the prayers of the church or you need some encouragement, please come now as together we stand and sing.